Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in live and for watching on tape delay, if you so happen to be watching on tape delay.
Is it tape? Do they still have tape? Tape delay, but is this like a reel-to-reel machine that this is being recorded on?
Tape delay transmissions brought to you by 3M Corporation, home of scotch, masking, and duct tape.
And as you can see, I'm joined by my panel of, I'll call y'all experts.
We're back!
We're back on our regularly scheduled day and or night and time. Of course, we always record on Thursdays. We're not always, but we try to record Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm joined by Classic Material. Say what's Hello. Up to the people.
Bye, we grind our week mini bar.
Glad to be back, Tim D-O-double-G.
Thanks for joining us tonight. And we also have Agent underscore 70.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Glad to be back.
And last but not least, we have Mr. PCN underscore Dirt.
I did not get arrested at C2E2. Sorry to let you know.
We were hoping you would, but unfortunately...
I did get into a fight, though, news. So that was...
Oh, cool. There's a story. Can't wait for that one.
What happened?
You just have to wait and find out.
Oh, okay.
Stop being
teases for later.
Just right. Stay tuned.
First, I want to say, let everyone know the website is theclicknation.com. You can go there to find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews. Once I finally start doing those again, I have time this weekend, so those will be coming out. What else was on there? Click Nation podcast is on there and other various blog posts. So check that out. You can follow the Twitter account at The Click Nation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation, where all the video podcasts will be uploaded once they're done. Subscribe to Click Nation Podcast and Comic Book Chronicles on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Join us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation and join the community at The Click Nation Community. And last but not least, if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on any of our various shows, send that to theclicknation@gmail.com. And also shout outs to the popculturenetwork.com, which is Dirt's website.
And I hear a dog in the background. At least I think that's a dog.
Is that a spider dog classic?
Would you hear the chains? The leash? Yeah, that's her.
Well, hopefully that's a dog, I guess.
Yeah, it's a dog.
And also check out the CodeSlitherPodcast.com, where you can find Classic and myself and Eclectic podcasts and various blog articles on anything retro of the 80s or the 90s.
You grew up on it.
Indeed. And shout outs again to everyone watching live. I believe Ponderous on Twitter is watching, and Cyber Soldier is watching, and Saint Walker 191 hopefully is watching. He asked right when I clicked start show, he asked if we had started yet. So yes, we have. Sorry about the delay. Now, it's been a busy couple last 2 weeks in comic book news, and as far as Iron Man 3 came out, and we also had the free comic book day last Saturday. First, we're going to touch upon, let's see, what do we want to start on? Actually, we'll start with free comic book day. I would start with Iron Man, but I actually want to save that for a little bit later, because that's going to go into some more, another topic I want to touch upon. But so, did everyone here participated in free comic book day, correct?
A day late, maybe.
As long as you participated.
That's right.
As Dirt shows off his, whatever that is.
This is the Hero Clicks for Iron Man 3 that they were giving away for a free comic book day.
Now, you have, besides us just going to our local shops and getting the free books, you actually run a comic book store, so you want to pull the veil back and let people know what it's like being on the other side of free comic book day?
It sucks. I don't know what else to tell you. It's 9,000 people walking in the store wanting free stuff and not wanting to buy stuff. And that's pretty much a good portion of the day. And we you know, told people you can take as many different books as you want, but only take one copy of each book. Because there were people that were coming in and they were trying to grab like four or five Walking Dead so they could throw some up on eBay, you know, and that kind of stuff. And you always have to fight those people because otherwise, you know, all your books will run out in the first half hour, you know. Most of our books were gone in about 2.5 hours. And so then at that point, it was like we were scrounging for stuff. We were throwing like the free Marvel posters that they send you, those, you know, fold over, like we're putting them on the table. We're grabbing damaged books that, you know, have been damaged out. And we were, you know, going to throw them away, and we're throwing those on the table. We had old Game Trade magazines we were throwing up on there, just trying to keep stuff on the table because people will still come in, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and it's like you opened at 10:30 in the morning and they're like, hey, do you have that Walking Dead? And it's like, no. Like, what? Why are you showing up now for that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were just trying to, you know, find stuff and trying to do stuff and trying to keep people occupied and, you know, stuff like that, and show them, you know, other stuff. It's like, hey, you know, you like Walking Dead. Here's some of the other ones you could actually buy. And people are like, oh, yeah, this is the free one. And that's pretty much the story of the day.
So, and yeah, we were even doing a little emailing. I guess that same morning, because I was on my way to my shop. I actually was nervous because I was running late because I wanted to be there. My store, local store, opened at 11, and I want to say I got there at 11:30, and I was like panicking, like I hope they still got the stuff I want. But got there, the store was it's a small store. It's like in off of downtown. In this small, it's a small town for one, and then it's in the downtown district of this small town. So it's right off the street, little corner store. It was full of kids and parents with kids and people my age, you know, getting their books. But they still had everything that I wanted. They had a limit of 3 free comics per person. That was the only limitation they had, which I guess I... That seems to be weird because other people were saying, like, I got everything that was right. Free.
Yeah, I mean, if you came into our store and you were just grabbing one copy, you could grab one of everything. You know, we didn't limit people as far as that goes. Yeah. And one thing that people need to keep in mind is that even though it's free comic book day, like, for us as a store, we had to pay money for them. You know, we had to pay per issue, and then we had to pay, you know, the shipping on that, and it gets pretty expensive when you're shipping, you know, comics and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about something like Free Comic Book Day, we got some new subscribers out of it, you know, so as far as that goes, it was, you know, we have regular customers now that had been at another store, and this is the first time they walked into our store, and they were like, oh, I kind of like this place better, you know, so they moved their account to us, you know, to get their books. And so that's nice to work out of it. But, you know, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, it gets pretty expensive to get. There were, you know, 50-some different books, and we had two of them that didn't show up. You know, we didn't get the 2000 AD special, and there was a book called The Strangers, number one. That one didn't show up, but we had everything else, you know. And that gets expensive to have all that stuff. And so I think a lot of times people just think, hey, it's free comics. Like, they think we're getting them for free, you know, so it's like no big deal for them to come in and grab whatever they want. But really, you know, it's like it's supposed to be a marketing tool. It's supposed to get you to come in the store so that you will buy other stuff. And, you know, it kind of gets... It gets hard to balance sometimes between how much are we going to invest in buying all this stuff and setting it up and, you know, the extra work that goes into preparing the store for it and finding a place to put all these books and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to, you know, how much it costs to get all of that stuff in the first place. So, you know, when you go in at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you're like, hey, why are you out of everything? This sucks. I mean, keep in mind that you know, it's free for you, but there's a lot of work and a lot of money that goes in on the other side for getting that ordered and getting it set up.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, did either of you guys have, you know, like the stores that you went to in Classic, same for you, the stores that you went to for Free Comic Book Day, were they running like sales concurrently as well?
The store,
you
I
know,
went
with
to
like
had
discounts.
Store had to add some $1 comics, and this was like the Valiant. I don't know if they actually, you know, regularly go for a dollar, but all the Valiant number zero titles were up for a dollar each.
Gotcha.
And there were a couple you know, sales here and there. I actually went to a brand new store which was close to my house, and I pulled a fast one. I got two of each book, free book, you know, so I'm that guy that was like getting extra copies because I took my wife with me. I convinced her to go. Mrs. Classic, she didn't want to go. She's like, comics, what the hell? And I had to explain to her the concept of Free Comic Book Day. And, you know, even that she wasn't sold on until I said, you know, they have Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's like in season 7 and 8, or, you know, they continued that series, and that's comic book form. She's like, really? Well, let's go. I'm like, okay, well, now sold. So I got two of everything. And she enjoyed the Mega Man and Sonic the Hedgehog comics. She was reading those out loud in the car, and that was funny as hell.
I took the girlfriend with me, so I was able to get her to get three books, extra books that I was looking at. So I did end up with 6, even though it was three per person.
I ended up getting my books. I went in on Sunday. I actually missed Free Comic Book Day. I was just too tied up. And I got pretty much everything I wanted to get except for the Mouse Guard book. I actually got, you know, because I came in on a Sunday, I actually got like doubles of almost everything because I grabbed some stuff that I have to give to like my nephews, you know, like when I see them, hopefully this coming Sunday. So, you know, I was able to get extra of a lot of them.
Were there any books anybody wanted to get that you weren't able to get your hands on?
The Mouse Guard for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice that, you know, I guess like you said, it depends on what books each store ordered, because I think there was a couple books that my store was missing that I saw on the, you know, the website, freecomicbookday.com website, is being advertised. So it just depended on what books your store ordered.
Yeah, well, like I said, we got shorted on a couple of them where we had ordered them and then our box came and we opened the box and they weren't in there. And, you know, we emailed our sales rep and said, hey, these books are missing, and he just gave us credit for the order, because, you know, they ship them out separately, and there was no way for them to send replacements before the actual day. So it's like if they forgot to put them in the box and you were just out of luck and you weren't going to have them for Free Comic Book Day. But then also, you know, like I said, the store has to order them. So when the store looks at the list, like some of the books, like, you know, Pippi Longstocking, you know, how many copies of Pippi Longstocking are you going to order for your store? You know, so I'm sure a lot of stores were just going, yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that one, you know, because how important is that for most people?
I guess if that's Ponderous on Twitter, she said Free Comic Book Day falls on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath. I didn't get to participate. Lamentations, all caps and exclamation mark at the end.
Well, hey, you got to keep the Sabbath holy, you know?
Exactly. But I guess that wraps up the Free Comic Book Day discussion. Oh, yeah. Other thing I was going to add, you can also check out some of the different comic book companies' websites because they are offering their Free Comic Book Day issues for free downloads. I've seen from, I forget who it was I saw. Which company does Aphrodite 8 or IX?
Top Cow.
I saw Top Cow was offering their issues.
You mean this?
For download. Yeah, that.
Actually, if you go to Comixology and you go to their free comics section, they do have a bunch of them available for download now. And I know Dark Horse had theirs for a while. I don't know if they're still up there or not, but they had their books also available. And they had their flip book that was Mass Effect on one side and I think it was Killjoys on the other. Mm-hmm. They actually split that apart. So if you just wanted one story, you could just download that one story instead of the whole book. But I know Comixology had a whole bunch of them. Not the Marvel and DC stuff, obviously, but I think the some of the smaller press, IDW and I can't think of the companies, but a lot of those smaller companies, Kitchen Sink, I think, had a couple of them that were in there, and Alterna Press, maybe. I don't remember. But you can get some of those weirder ones that your store may not have actually ordered. You can download those from Comixology for free.
I'm checking that out now. And also for Dark Horse, they have a separate app that you have to go through to get their book. So you can also find that on your mobile device of choice.
I didn't check Comix Plus. I didn't think to check them to see if they had any of the digital ones up there. I better go check them real quick.
Are they just a comic book store website?
Yeah, it's another company. Called Iverse. And they actually started doing digital comics before Comixology. Mm-hmm. But Comixology was able to sync the deal with Marvel, which then got the deal with DC and kind of made Comixology the number one spot.
Okay. And let's see, next up on... So, with the Free Comic Book Day out of the way, 2 weeks ago was the Chicago Comic Book Convention C2E2, which Dirt was in attendance for. And since I changed the date of the last two podcasts, we weren't able to catch up with him to get his thoughts and his recap of C2E2. So I wanted to give him a chance to let everyone know what he thought and what he went through out there.
One thing before I start, I will say I did pull up Iverse Comics Plus, and they do have a bunch of the Free Comic Book Day books. The Top Cow, Aspen, Fearless Dawn, The Red Five, Atomic Robo, Action Lab, Marcosia, The Walking Dead book is on here. So, I mean, they got a whole bunch of them. So if you missed any of those, you can grab those on Comics Plus from Iverse. Okay, so C2E2. C2E2, as opposed to Wizard World is usually a smaller show. You get some artists, signing stuff in booths and doing artwork, and you get some vendors selling toys and comics. But, Wizard World never has any publishers, whereas C2E2, huge show, big show. Marvel has a giant booth. They had like a three-story tall Iron Man 3 poster that you could stand in front of, get your picture taken. And, they were giving away stuff at their booth at different times. They were doing trivia and handing out weird, variants and stuff like that. Dark Horse was there. Arkea was there. Avatar was there. Boom Studios, IDW, they all had booths. And DC was the only company that didn't have a booth. And so a lot of people started to kind of freak out a little bit. And they said, does this mean that, C2E2 is collapsing? Like, is this going to become the next Wizard World where you show up and, you know, there's Adam West signing autographs, but, you know, there's no publisher booths. And it just turns out that apparently DC just decided to be cheap. And they just decided that it's so expensive to build a booth and set up these displays that they just weren't going to do it anymore. They still had a lot of their creators there. They had the writers, the artists. They were still doing panels. If you went to a DC panel, almost everybody who went got a free comic of one kind or another. I got a Batman, like random Batman 701. They were just handing out to everybody on one side of the room. People on the other side of the room got like Aquaman number one or something like that. It was really, you know, weird. If you went up and asked questions, they were actually handing out prizes to people who were asking questions in the panels. So if they liked your question, they would get you a limited edition autographed, you know, print from somebody, or they'd have one of the, you know, variant covers to one of the books that they were handing out. So, I mean, there was some nice stuff that they were just giving away to people asking questions. But I found there was one other thing that DC did that most people didn't even know about. And that was if you got on a shuttle bus and you were traveling to or from the hotel on the C2E2 shuttles, DC actually put boxes of comics on the bus for you to take.
Oh.
And they usually set them on the front seat right behind the driver. And a lot of times people were getting on the bus and they just saw a box there and they were picking up the box and setting it on the ground underneath the seat and not paying any attention to what it was. So it'd be like middle of the day and you'd kind of look over and be like, oh, what's this box? And you'd pull it out and there'd be Justice League number ones, first prints.
Wow.
Just a box of them sitting there.
Yeah, if you wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah, just think there's no the sign box. That says "take these," you know.
Flash number one, first print.
Wow.
Batman and Robin, the first series, first prints. This is what it was.
Damian.
Yeah, this was Dick Grayson and Damian. Mm-hmm. First prints, and then I got on one time, and there was Action Comics number one. Well, Saturday, you know, we stayed pretty late. We were there until probably, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock on most nights. And so we were on the last shuttle buses going back. And we were on one of the buses, and I look over at the box, and there's a big box of Action Comics number one. So I just sit down in that first seat, and I grab a chunk of Action Comics number ones and throw them into my bag. And then we're driving along a few more minutes, and I grab another chunk of Action Comics number ones. And then before we got off the bus, I grabbed another chunk of Action Comics number ones.
Increasing the stash.
I've got 50 copies of Action Comics number one, first prints, if anybody's interested, let me know.
We'll have to, like, auction them off and, like, do some kind of, like, contest or something on the show.
I'm thinking maybe I should draw sketches on the front of them. Give them out to people.
Someone might purchase that.
So, anyway, it was one of those things that they never advertised. They never said anything to anybody. You didn't get on the bus, and the bus driver wasn't like, hey, grab some free comics. It's just one of those things where you're sitting on a bus, and you're like, oh, hey, what's this box over here? And you open it up, and it's first print number ones of something from DC. And so I thought that was like a really cool kind of hidden. You were only going to know if you took the shuttle bus. They weren't doing it anywhere else I could find in the convention on the floor. You know, it's just like an Easter egg for C2E2. And I thought that was really neat.
Okay.
The other thing that happened is I said I might get arrested. Well, I didn't get arrested this time. Or anytime. I better clarify. Never been arrested.
Aww.
But I did get into a fight. My co-host for Comaholics, The Apocalypse, he was up there with us. And the first night we were there, we went out and had some cocktails, you know, having some drinks. And a bunch of the guys decided that they were going to go to a dance club. And now, I mean, you can see me. I'm not really like a dance club type of guy, you know. So I said, you know, we've got pictures, we got footage, we got news stories. I got a bunch of press releases to put on the website. So I'm just going to go back to the room and I'm going to get on the website and I'm just going to post, you know, a bunch of stuff. So I go back to the room and I'm there like maybe 10, 15 minutes and the guys come back Apparently, they had tried to go to this club, and they couldn't find it, and they were walking around and just decided to come back. So I'm sitting there, I'm typing, and I'm, you know, doing my thing, and the apocalypse just comes up behind me, and he's probably had about, I don't know, 12 or 13 too many, and he starts, like putting his hands over my face and, like, you know, being goofy, making noises, you know, because he's out there. So I'm just, like, you know, swatting away. I'm like, get away, I'm trying to work, you know. He comes back, like, a minute later and starts, like, putting his finger in my ear, you know, and, like, doing that thing. And so I turned around and I smacked him across the face. And his glasses just go, whoo, go flying right off his head. And he has this goofy kind of smile at first, like, huh. And then he realizes, like, I just got slapped across the face and my glasses went flying. And he started to get pissed, you know. And I was like, at least drunk Apocalypse knows now that I don't want to be messed with. This is not the time for it. So I turn back around and I start typing again. And he reaches around the side of me and starts, like, typing on the keyboard, you know, like, while I'm typing. So I turn around and I, like, backwards smack him. And I grab his hand and I just start to twist it and I push him back towards the bed and I just hit him on the back of the head a couple times. And I grab, there was a cup full of water, and I just grab the water and I just soak him with it sitting on the bed. And he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm asking you that same question. And he's shocked. Like, he can't believe that this has happened. And he gets up and he walks out of the room. Everyone else in the room is just kind of like, well, that was a little awkward, you know. And I just go back to working. I'm like, you know, he's had too many to drink. You know, he's goofing off. He's crazy. He's not going to remember any of this. No big deal. Whatever. Well, then, like, 20 minutes later, he comes out of the bathroom and he just looks at me and he goes, if you ever, ever disrespect me like that again, it ain't going to happen, buddy, you know, or something like that. And so that became, like, the joke for the whole rest of the weekend, was that just to get up in somebody's face and just be like, listen, man, I ordered McNuggets with honey, and you gave me this ranch dipping sauce. You're never going to do that again. And he kept demanding an apology. He was like, you got out of hand. There was no need for that. I'm like, I don't know how to tell drunk Apocalypse to stop messing with me any other way, apparently, than to almost break your fingers, smack you on the head, and douse you with water. I mean, because that worked. You know, nothing else seemed to work up to that point. But
wow.
That was the first night. That was night number
one.
Wow. Yeah.
Things get intense at comic book conventions.
Yeah.
And what happens at C2E2 stays at C2E2. You know.
I said when the story is told here.
Well, you know. But, I mean, it was fun. And then the second night, they, again, were trying to find some sort of club and, you know, trying to find some party and whatever. And it was, you know, another one of those things where we ended up going to this, like, little English pub. And I was just eating fish and chips and drinking scotch. And, you know, I was like, I don't care. You know, you guys go to a party or whatever. I'm fine drinking scotch. You know, I don't need to go off and do stuff. Oh, and then that was also the night that I had my 50 copies of Action Comics number one in my book bag. So my shoulder felt like I was carrying like 700 pounds on top of it. So
sure.
But yeah, that was C2E2.
Nice.
In a nutshell. In a tiny little nutshell.
You get any cool swag or free stuff or any cool purchases?
You would ask me that.
Thought of 50 combos he just held.
I mean,
there's one thing. Hold on.
Cool swag.
Well, he's getting that. I forgot to actually show the free comic book set I got from Free Comic Book Day.
All right. So if you guys remember, several episodes back of this Comic Book Chronicles, I was doing yes or no by showing little Tron figures.
Right.
You may have guessed I'm somewhat of a Tron fan. Well, at this show, Bruce Boxleitner, who played Tron, was there.
Okay.
And so, you know, he was doing his you know, autograph signing and his regular stuff, but he's coming out with a new show. And so they sent out a press release saying that, you know, there's this new show coming out and whatever. And so I was like, well, I do have press credentials. So I sent back a quick email. Are you going to be available for interviews? And sure enough, they set up an interview. So I got to go meet Bruce Boxleitner, who played Tron. I did an interview with him. We've got it on camera. We're putting it together. As part of our new show, Pop Culture Network, the show, it's going to be a part of that. working on that. But also, the autograph booth is like a swag booth. You know, they're always like selling their stuff, and you know, you buy it and they autograph it for you, whatever.
Right.
Well, I had this Tron book. I've had this book since I don't know when, since I was a little kid.
Wow.
And
vintage.
Yeah, I took it with me to the interview, and I was like, I just want him to sign it. You know, I don't care about anything else. I just want him to sign it. And I took it to the interview, and I just couldn't bring myself to pull it out. You know, like, I'm trying to be professional. I'm asking professional questions. You know, we're hanging out. The interview went a little long. They gave me a little bit of extra time. It was cool, you know, and I didn't want to, kind of abuse my power, you know? So I ended up going to the booth, and it's like, you buy the photograph and he'll sign it for you. So I bought the photograph, and I go, like, instead of signing that, could you sign my book for me instead? Because I had it this morning, and I just, I didn't want to abuse my position, whatever. And he was like, well, do you want me to sign it on the cover? And I was like, no, it's on the inside, so it doesn't get rubbed off or whatever. So he signed it and personalized it on there. Plus, went ahead and signed the photo.
Yeah. Good job, Doug. Good job.
So I got two things signed by Tron. I got to shake his hand. You know, he put his hand on my shoulder one time, and I was like a little schoolgirl. So that was my fun time.
That's cool.
Nice.
And he's a great guy. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met.
So are you hyped for Tron 3?
I am. I am. Thanks for asking. I'm always watching rumors. I actually set up Google has an alert system where you can type in something you're looking for and set up a news alert. So when a new news story pops up with that, it'll send you an email. And I've got Tron 3 on email alert.
Okay.
So I'm watching it.
And real quickly, I'll flash up the comments I got during Free Comic Book Day. Which way do I need to move this?
What'd you think of Infinity?
I was confused.
It seemed really pointless.
It seemed like the very, very beginning of a story, and it just left me cold. I was just like,
it's definitely not something you want new readers reading.
Although, you know what?
I called it Hickman Mumbo Jumbo.
Although, let me tell you, the art was very reminiscent of Avengers. Did you notice that? The very beginning? The first page? That Jim Chung drew is very reminiscent of where, like the opening shot of Avengers,
Avengers.
Yes, the movie Avengers.
Well, yeah, that's what it kind of looked like.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's what I think. That was an obvious reference point, to kind of bring in people who are fans of the movie into this book and to show that, they're interweaving more movie elements into the mainstream books right now.
Yeah, I think Marvel's was lackluster, and DC's made no sense because
DC's was a reprint. Yeah,
it was just a reprint of an old New 52 story. I didn't know, and then it's funny because I read it, and there's one like when Lois and Superman are talking, they mention like that they're married, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, they're not married anymore.
Yeah, and then
like Monday or Tuesday, I was online, I saw someone wrote an article bashing the DC New 52 or DC Free Comic Book, and they were saying how it was just a reprint of a pre-New 52 story.
Yeah, I messaged you because we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I read through it, and I must have like skipped a page or whatever because I was like, well, this is kind of a pretty good, Superman story, random time in his mythos. Like, I didn't really pay that much attention to it, and then I sent you a message on Google Plus a couple days later, and I was like, oh man, that's a total reprint. Like, I didn't pay close enough attention to that at all. But did you read the other one? Did you read the one that had the Beware the Batman and Teen Titans Go?
I ain't get that one because I'm trying to boycott DC Nation now that they canceled Young Justice. But how was it?
It was pretty good, actually. My kids and I watched Teen Titans Go tonight, as a matter of fact, and it's a really good cartoon. It's a lot like the original one. And that Beware the Batman, I'm looking forward to that show.
I might watch that. I refuse to watch Teen Titans Go.
Why?
You should give it a chance, Tim.
Because it reflects Young Justice.
It's still funny.
Shouldn't have been canceled.
But is it? I don't think it's really replacing Young Justice. It's bringing back the old Teen Titans show in a different format because it's the same voices. I think it's all the same voices from the original series, and it's really well done.
I just think it's funny. I get a kick out of watching it.
I did get Marvel's Hulk Smash and the Avengers Assemble, which is going to suck. I guess that can seamlessly transition over to news because today Marvel released an image from Avengers Assemble, which the art looks just like Ultimate Spider-Man. Can we make too much else out of what they showed? It was just the team all in a circle back to back, like they were ready to fight. I think it comes out sometime this summer.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. There's a one-hour first look on May 26th, according to the last page of the Free Comic Book Day preview.
I'm actually flipping through it now because I actually haven't even looked at a whole bunch of this stuff yet. Okay, let's see. More news. What else did I have planned? Oh, let's see. Marvel's first animated feature film, Big Hero 6. So that news for today, Marvel announced their first animated feature film is going to be Big Hero 6, which is a book and a story I'm not familiar with. Anyone here familiar with it?
It came out. I remember it. Was it? Don't tell me. Was this one of the Marvel manga series?
The one I remember, the one I saw, and I only know this because I was putting back issues away a couple days ago at the store, and I ran across a copy. It was printed as a thicker regular comic. It was like $7 or $8, and it was like 2 or 3 comics thick. And I don't know if it was reprinting from some other format or if that's the way it was, but they released that, I want to say like in 2010 or 2011, and put that out as like a one-shot special. But it looked like a regular, comic. It was just thicker, and it cost way too much for whatever it was. And on a side note, nobody bought it. So we still have all the copies left in our store that we had ordered.
Gotta love that. Let's see, I'm pulling up some info on it now. It's based on the Japanese super team introduced in the late 90s. The official log line for the film describes Big Hero 6 as an action comedy adventure about brilliant robotics prodigy Hiro Hamada, who finds himself in the grips of a criminal plot that threatens to destroy the fast-paced, high-tech city of San Francisco. I guess that's not a typo. With the help of his closest companion, robot named Baymax, Hiro joins forces with a reluctant team of first-time crime fighters on a mission to save their city. The comic book version of Big Hero 6 was created by Man of Action Steve T. Seagal and Duncan Roulet during their Alpha Flight run in 1998. Though due to scheduling quirks, their first appearances were actually in the 3-issue Sunfire and Big Hero 6 miniseries by Scott LaBelle and Gus Vasquez, released a few months prior. And then yada, yada, yada.
Pass.
It depends on when it comes out. Let's see.
I'll give it a shot. I mean, it's animated, you can just watch it once.
Yeah. And now, let's see, I got some feedback. Let's see, let me read some quick feedback. I know Cyber Soldier's been watching and typing into the Google Plus event. He asked, Comics Plus, or how do you spell Comics Plus, Dirt? Is it Comics Plus as you normally spell it, or is Comics with the S?
It's Comics with a plus symbol.
Oh. No comics and then plus.com?
They spell it properly.
Oh, you mean as far as the website?
Yeah.
No, it's an app.
Oh, it's an app. Okay, so app. Yeah, never mind.
I'm sure they have a web.
He was just asking how to spell it, so I guess he meant for the app. Let's see.
Doug, are you trying to sell us auto insurance?
I am. I got asked a question I didn't know. Here you go. It's comicspl.us. So comicspl.us.
Ah, okay. Like Deals Plus. Sure. I just now see Doug's picture he had up there. Let's see some tweets real quick. CT or Saint Walker 191 says, "Right on, Tim." Hashtag screw DC Nation. Yeah. And then Kuro and Otaku, aka Black and Nerdy, says, "Teen Titans Go and Young Justice are different beasts. Plus, Dan Hip is behind the art, so I support him." He also says, "I think Big Hero 6 is too obscure. It was Marvel's attempt to make Silver Samurai into a hero."
Okay.
Let's see other news. Okay. Let's see what kind of debate this sparks up. Marvel facing challenges in signing Robert Downey Jr. for Avengers 2 and 3. This has been a big discussion online this week, so I thought it'd be nice to talk about it. And of course, we can also give our Iron Man 3 thoughts. Actually, we'll give our Iron Man 3 thoughts first, because I forgot to mention that earlier. I'm assuming everyone here has seen Iron Man 3, correct?
Uh-oh. Doug, you're going to have to go on mute. You're going to have to mute us out.
I'm sure he doesn't care about now.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean,
it's really a comic shop. I'm sure everyone else has probably talked about it.
It's one of those movies that I know I'll watch eventually, but I kind of feel the same way about it as I felt about Thor when Thor came out, where it's like, I'll watch it in a couple weeks, you know. I'll get a screener or a bootleg or something of it. Maybe some friend in 2 weeks will want to go to, you know, a 9 o'clock showing or something. We'll go see it. You know, it's just one of those things. Eventually I'll get around to it, but I don't really feel like I got to like kill myself to get there right away and, you know, see it, you know, opening weekend. Woo. You know, I'm not that enthusiastic about it.
Grant, right. I understand. So, we also, by the time this goes up, actually by next week, there's a Click Nation podcast. We did a review of Iron Man 3 for our latest episode, and we had Variant Dash from Twitter on as our guest. That was a good time, so look out for that when it's posted. I'm assuming everyone at least enjoyed Iron Man 3 for what it was.
That's a good way to put it.
Oh, yeah. I liked it.
Oh, let's hear your thoughts, Agent 70.
All right. Well, as a movie, I thought it was fairly good. As a comic book fan, I was up in arms. You know, and I'm pretty sure you know why. But, yeah. You know, overall, I thought the movie itself was effective. You know, a lot of the action set pieces were pretty good. You know, it drew me in. But, you know, in terms of just, you know, from a movie perspective, I thought the villains were pretty weak, you know, but Downey Jr. is so good. Like, he just draws you in, even with the bit with the kid, you know, in the middle, you know, it was still engaging because he still got this great timing. You know, he can pull off snark, sarcasm, wit, and just like, you know, real emotion as well. He's just a great actor. So, you know, he pulls you into the, you know, into his performance, into the experience of being Tony Stark, you know, at its very height and its very, and at its lowest, you know?
I enjoyed it for being a solo Iron Man flick. And when I say solo, obviously I know that Iron Patriot also is in it helping him. But when I say solo, it's like, they ain't spend half the movie trying to set up future Marvel movies like Iron Man 2.
You right.
They told a solo story pertaining to Iron Man, and I enjoyed it for that. There was other stuff in there I wasn't crazy about, but I think on an initial view, and I enjoyed it more than Iron Man 2.
Same.
Probably if I see it again, that could change, but at least right now, I put it above Iron Man 2. And of course, Iron Man 1 is better than both of them.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much my ranking as well. Classic, what say you? Are you there?
Classic might be away.
He must be away.
Guys, Avatar.
Oh, no, I'm here. Now.
Oh.
I'm here.
Avatar is up. All right.
What's your Iron Man 3 thoughts?
Oh, I enjoyed it. Lots of action. You know, lots of Iron Men, so to speak. And, you know, pretty good story. Even the development with the Mandarin, you know, I wasn't too upset about that. Probably because I'm not like a huge Iron Man fanboy. I thought it was a cool twist. But the first thing I thought was, you know what? A lot of Iron Man fans are going to be pissed.
Yeah. But, and they are.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I kind of. With these movies, I gotta take it with a grain of salt because they did this. They did the same thing with Spider-Man and Captain America. Like a lot of these movies are based off like Ultimate Marvel and not really Marvel. Yeah, that's how I consider it.
Okay.
I was just kind of, you know, listen. I go back on Iron Man a long way. Like I actually read a lot of these. Like, you know, we were talking before, like before we went on live about like the Michelini Layton era Iron Man stuff, and oh, yeah. You know, I you know, like I definitely go back there and even further back, and you know, really what I was disappointed by is, you know, Iron Man is kind of notorious for not having the best rogues gallery, mm-hmm. You know, and you know, Mandarin was good, and I know he's a character, but take it from an Asian man, I wanted him to be Asian. All right. When I heard about Ben Kingsley, I was like, all right, let's see how they do this. Let's see how they play this. You know, I understand that, you know, the Mandarin, when they first introduced him, was a caricature, was a, you know, he was, a, you know, it was fairly racist in terms of his characterization. But come on now, he could at least be Asian. You know, he doesn't have to be the way he was. Just adapt him. But they punted. And that's what really annoyed me about the whole character, is a waste of a perfectly good villain. And it's not like they're going to shy away from magic or alien stuff now, not after Avengers and Thor. You know what I mean? Like in terms of like the origin of the Ten Rings.
Yeah, they shortchanged us on that one.
You know? I mean, that could have been a huge, huge development. That could have opened up all sorts of possibilities in terms of, like, you know, like the origins for their villains in future Marvel movies, you know?
So Cyber Soldier says in the event here, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man personified. He is that role. And, of course, that goes into this article on ScreenRant.com that I saved. It talks, sort of give the short version of it, basically talks about how it compares the movies, the Marvel movies that Robert Downey Jr. stars in and what they pulled in compared to what the numbers from like Thor, Cap, Incredible Hulk pull without him. Basically saying how he's essential to moviegoers going to see these movies, and you know, will Marvel pay up the big bucks to keep this cast and specifically him together?
You know, I understand the sentiment behind that, but as someone who saw the first Iron Man in the theater multiple times, saw the second one in the theater once, and is now looking at number three going, meh, you know, whenever, I'm kind of looking at it going, the scripts and the style has not kept up. Mm-hmm. You know, so as far as, Robert Downey Jr. has got to be in it, it's nice, but I'd rather have a good story. Like if he's not in it, but the story's fantastic, I'm going to be super happy. You know, I'm not going to want, if they're going to pay the big bucks to keep him, but you get a script that's Iron Man 2 again, then it's not worth it. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's other things that I'm more worried about and more concerned with than just whether or not that particular actor is coming back. And, you know, if people want to say, you know, he made the character, you know, it's got to be him, whatever, you know, it's Sean Connery, it's Roger Moore, it's Daniel Craig, it's, you know, Timothy Dalton. They all have their pluses and minuses. They all put their stamp on it. They all have, you know, very good things that they brought to the role of James Bond that the others didn't have. And I can go back and watch any of them, and they don't sit there and go, well, that's not James Bond, except maybe Pierce Brosnan a little bit, but that's also because his movies are terrible. But, you know, they could totally cast somebody else in that, and I'm going to be okay because the magic of Iron Man number one just has not returned.
Yeah. I was saying I could see it being where they'll pay this big, you know, give him another big, huge payday for Avengers 2, and then that ends up being like the last movie he does, or they write him out somehow, or they replace him.
I think they'll just replace him. I don't think it's worth writing him out because that's going to really be problematic in terms of the continuity of the movie universe, at least, you know?
And they've already done the Hulk three different people.
Right.
Like, it's not like this is new for the idea of Marvel Universe movies. Plus, they're going to be doing Fantastic Four over again with a different team.
Yeah. But that's not in Marvel. Yeah, the thing is, that's not in Marvel's hands. That's the thing. So.
Well, yeah, but it's still kind of, as far as fans go, I mean, right. The average guy going out to see a movie, he doesn't know that the people who made the Silver Surfer movie are not going to be the same people doing this one. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a movie. It's stuff. Who cares?
And then plus, they have so many characters they can use. They can, you know, Iron Man is out, Captain Marvel's in, and then once Chris Evans gets mad and Cap's gone, they can quote unquote kill Cap like they did in the comics, and Bucky can take his place, or just recast him.
Brock Lesnar come in and be Wonder Man for a while.
Why Brock Lesnar?
I just was trying to think of
the first thing that came to mind.
Well, I was going to say Batista, but they've already got him doing that.
Yeah, he's Drax.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good Drax, you know?
That's going to be an interesting movie when that comes out.
I'm kind of curious how exactly Guardians of the Galaxy is going to work out as far as movie goes, because when I was growing up and I was reading the space stuff, the Adam Warlock and the Infinity, you know, Endless Infinity series and whatever, Drax was more of like a doofus, you know, he was kind of a big dumb idiot, more or less. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're completely abandoning that nowadays.
They're abandoning it. They're going to go with the dual blade Drax. You know, from the Abnett and Lanning stuff.
Because I like that kind of goofy doofus drags, and that works for Dave Bautista. So being goofy and dumb.
But he's gonna look cool with the dual blades.
See,
they're gonna make him green.
Adam Black is available. Let me see if he'll let me add him. But they can either kill these people off or replace them with other actors or just move their character off.
Although, if they replace Robert Downey Jr. with another actor, who do you want to see play in Iron Man?
No idea.
See, I'm bad with that game.
No idea.
I can never cast movies. I let other people play do that.
Yeah.
Who would you want to see?
Doug, do you have an idea? You have someone to recommend?
No.
Ask me someone fat. Have to be a quick-witted person, because that's what people are used to for Tony Stark now. Yeah.
And the only person I can think of is like Jeremy Piven, and he doesn't fit the role at all. Like, he's got the right personality, but he doesn't have the look. You know.
That would be interesting. He's short too.
He could do it for animated. If they did an animated, Avengers, you know, type movie, and they needed a Tony Stark, they could totally have Jeremy Piven do the voice. I could see that happening.
They just get the guy that's been doing it for that techno, whatever animated
anime comics movie. Things. Yeah.
You there, Adam Black. Well, while we wait for
hey,
him.
What's up?
Oh, okay, there.
Yeah, Adam Black is in the building.
What's going on?
Hey, not much, man. How are y'all doing this week?
We good.
Chilling.
Did you want to say anything about Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr. and, you know, will they replace these characters or recast them or kill them off?
With Iron Man 3, I mentioned it on our pod that we recorded earlier this week. It's just the story was just inconsistent up and down for me. I think it's still better than Iron Man 2. And basically Robert Downey Jr. pretty much saved the movie for me, period. Just him acting, you know, acting smarmy and all that. I thought that was enough for me as far as the movie. Recasting him. I mean, basically think about this. Who was Robert, you know, Robert Downey Jr. was what before Iron Man?
No, he was out of rehab.
Pretty much. That's it. And, so, you know, is it, you know, would I want to see someone else play him? Not really, but, you know, there's always a chance that someone else could come in there and do just as good a job. So you never know. you know, I hated the fact that, you know, I just thought about it, that this was the supposed to be the cap off or the start of phase two, but it really didn't feel like that to me. Did it feel like that to y'all?
No, not at all. I agree.
No, but I was fine with it because it.
Hey, are we cool with the racial blurs in this?
What? What'd you say, Classic?
No, nothing.
It's all about spoilers?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. All right, that's it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, just keep talking. I just put out the spoiler alert.
Okay, I guess Classic didn't have anything else to add, so.
No, just to, you know, just to let people know.
We'll jump to this week's comics. And I'm bringing up the list now.
Oh, may I say that Pepper Potts is the world's hottest or most beautiful woman, according to People magazine.
Okay. What?
Yeah, that's what People magazine put out, yeah.
And Cyber Soldier says, Iron Man 2 is the worst of the series personally, and yes, RDJ saved that movie. And Black and Nerdy says, oh, never mind. This is something else. We're having a chat on Twitter. Okay, so I thought he was on
something else.
Yeah, something else. Well, it's comic book related, though, because he asked earlier, if we had read the CBR article about sexism and Psylocke's costume.
Yes.
Precipitated into a mess in the comments. And I told him I skimmed it, but I didn't ask. I didn't read any of the comment stuff. And I asked
Damn, Dirt.
What, Dirt,
you know,
dude?
I don't. Look, I don't, you really don't see those. I don't know what you mean about sexism. I don't get that.
You're not familiar with that.
Masters of the Universe porn or something.
Oh, my goodness.
This is what I have framed over my fireplace.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. But yeah, to end that, he said a dude went crazy and was attacking a female blogger who wasn't even involved. Of course. Mm. Oh, St. Walker 191 says, Latino Review says, Chadwick Boseman is the lead for Black Panther fresh off of the 42 movie success. I did see that.
Did they confirm that he's the lead, or are they just speculating? Because
I'm sure Latino Review is just speculating.
Yeah.
I could see it because he wouldn't cost as much as other actors, and he's kind of known right now. I still need to see 42.
It was good.
That's what I heard.
It was good. I liked it.
Let's see. This week's stuff, I'm going to jump straight to DC, unless anyone has anything from any of the comic book companies that start with the letter before D. Going once, going twice. Oh, wait. Dark Horse. Did anyone read Star Wars number 5?
Nope.
Yet.
I haven't read it yet, so I can't comment on it.
No, I gave up on Star Wars, actually.
I gave up. I can't say I blame you, because there's stuff I want to give up on, too.
I find a lot of their stuff redundant. You know, ever since Infinities, where they were telling, like, the alternate storyline for Luke and Leia, like, what if one of them joined the dark side or something, it's kind of been like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, unless they're going to put these comics in with the into the movie canon, you know, I'm not finding anything from these stories.
Oh, yeah, was it last week? I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but actually, I think I might have mentioned it on the show about Dark Horse is keeping the Star Wars comics for at least through 2014. Mm. So Marvel can't have it yet.
They have it when they pry it from their cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
All right, DC, you know, Comics.
Well, actually, I just want to jump in real quick. As far as, like, the Star Wars series from Dark Horse, it's like the big thing, you know, everybody of course is going crazy for it, and I gave up really after 3 issues. Like, after 3 issues, I just kind of felt like it wasn't that interesting to me, and I didn't really care that much. And I've actually, there are 2 other Star Wars series from Dark Horse. One is called Agent of the Empire, and they've done 2 different miniseries with that, where it's basically James Bond of the Star Wars universe. He's a guy who works for the Empire, has to go in undercover a lot of times, and it really is James Bond. I mean, it's pretty blatant, and I think they know it, and that was, it just makes it very interesting and really cool. And the second is they've been doing a bunch of Darth Vader minis that all kind of string together loosely. They had Darth Vader in the like ghost prison, and Darth Vader in the Lost Command, and now the new one is Darth Vader and the Ninth Assassin, I think it is. And those series have been very interesting. They put, you know, Darth Vader obviously in the center of it, and you get a lot more of like his character and his motivations, and talks about, you know, the reasons why he makes certain decisions and does stuff. And he's much more than, you know, in the movies he's just kind of like the boogeyman who shows up and crushes some windpipes and, you know, says some mean things. And it makes him much more of a fleshed out character. And those two series I've been very interested in, and I enjoy reading those a bunch. And I was super excited when they announced this new Star Wars series, and I start reading through it, and it's like, Luke, Leia, you know, Han Solo, Chips. And I'm like, nah, like nothing in it jumps out at me and says that you must read this, you know. Nothing seems really that interesting. It's just kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon show. Here's the characters, you know, and they're going to go shoot at some stuff, and that's it.
If I could recommend something to anyone taking on Star Wars comics, whether it's Dark Horse or the next company, more Lando. That is all.
There's the recommendation from Classic. And let's see. Batman number 20. Thoroughly enjoyed this book.
Mm-hmm. Great read. Great artwork.
Yeah, I was going to say great art. Nice battle between Clayface and Batman. Even had a little touching moment with Alfred and Bruce.
The one thing that bothered me, though, is that when they did the whole New 52, it's like, here's this new world, this new history, these new characters, they can reset everything, you can get new origin stories, whatever. And it's like, here's Clayface, pretty much out of nowhere, and it's like he already has years of baggage kind of written into him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's losing his humanity. His humanity is almost gone. I didn't know he had humanity. Where was his humanity? What was the human part of him?
Yeah, what happened? That was pretty much me when I was reading it, too.
Yeah, it's like there's almost no trace of him left. I didn't know him. I have no idea who we're losing, you know? Like, I like the Clayface character, and I like how they drew him to look like the way he looked in Batman the Animated Series. Like, I thought that was really cool and really fun. And if I had, you know, the 5 years of backstory that this is, you know, supposedly has going for it, then I'd probably be more invested in the character. But it was just one of those things where it looks cool, you know, and it's kind of neat, but I missed that origin. I want to know who this guy was.
Yeah, they might as well be showing us some origins.
Yeah. You know, you bring up an interesting point, Doug. He transformed into all these like different rogues while battling Batman, like the Joker and also you know, I think he was like the Riddler at one point or something.
Penguin.
And then it was revealed that he actually touches people, and this, like, the getting the DNA of a person is how he is able to transform into them. You know, a la touching Bruce Wayne, he's turning into a form of Bruce Wayne. And you know, I thought it interesting that he said he didn't. You know, he revealed he really didn't know Batman's identity because he was going to touch Batman and take his form. And then he kind of figured it out, but Bruce Wayne kind of threw him off. Batman did with that synthetic skin thing, which I thought was kind of just – that was straight out the utility belt. Like that shark
repellent. Yes.
You knew well enough to put on synthetics, a layer of synthetic skin. You know, I don't know. That's,
and you just happen to have synthetic skin laying around. Sure. You know, I mean, that's, I keep it in a glove box just in case.
Standard operating procedure.
It's right next to my bat shark repellent.
Right.
And we also got a glimpse of the Batman Beyond suit.
That was kind of
cool. Which, it, you know, it won't be useful until 20 years from now.
That's right.
I don't get it.
It's pretty useful right then and there, but...
Well, it's not cost effective yet. It costs way too much to run that suit.
Which means it's a good thing to throw out.
It's the prototype.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
This thing was really super expensive. We better throw it in the trash compactor.
Spend all this money on it.
It's like, what, recycle? Right. What?
That's what rich people do. I thought they, you know, light cigars with $100 bills.
Oh, well, we do at my house. So I don't know how you do it.
That's a Batman with Jay-Z, maybe. Or Sean Puffy Combs.
Black and Nerdy says, Bendis might be better on Star Wars than Guardians of the Galaxy. Bendis would give you more Lando, but he might hook up with Leia, though.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You know,
love triangle. Need some sexual tension in our intergalactic stories.
Or who's writing Young Avengers? Is it Colin Bunn?
Kieran Gillen.
Oh, Kieran Gillen. He'd probably have Lando fall in love with Han.
Just to be edgy.
Yeah. BFFs.
All right, let's see what else came out for DC. Batman and Red Hood number 20. I have not yet got a chance to read it. Anyone here tackled it?
Maybe. I read through it briefly. I didn't, you know, sit down and go real in depth with it, but I was intrigued by the story of it. And
great cover, by the way, which is the cover art for this episode.
I thought it was a brilliant cover, too. I thought that was great. And as far as the story goes, he feels a lot of guilt for obviously what happened with Damian, which means he also feels guilty for what happened with Jason. And of course, Jason has, you know, come back and he somehow got better. And, but you know, they have this confrontation about it and they're trying to work out the anger and work out the feelings between them and work out like the bad vibes and the tension and whatever. And they just kind of have one of those, you know, yell at each other, punch them in the face type moments. But, you know, overall, I not reading it super in depth, but as much as I, you know, did read of it, I enjoyed it. And I actually have a copy of it sitting aside to read in depth when I get, you know, more of a chance this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to be checking it out too this weekend. There's a couple of DC books I need to finish up. I think I just about got through all the Marvel stuff.
There's an appearance by Carrie Kelly in this too.
Oh yeah.
They kind of develop how she's going to remain connected, you know, in the wake of the death of Damian. You know, she was giving him acting lessons, and now, you know, they're kind of giving her a reason to stick around, you know, stay in the immediate neighborhood, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if she actually does stick around or is just, will she fade in the background?
Yeah, I was reading something online about that, about how her character is eventually going to butt heads with a returning to the New 52 Cassandra Cain, the former Batgirl.
Mm.
That might be interesting.
I know people have been up in arms that she's not around, but I've never actually read any Cassandra Cain story, so I don't know anything about her.
Oh, yeah. They're great. I like Batgirl, or that Batgirl, I should say. Cool. I was one of the few that was a little upset that they brought back Barbara Gordon as Batgirl, you know, and got rid of Oracle, because that meant Cassandra Cain was not going to be Batgirl.
But see, I like the Stephanie Brown version of the character. So didn't bring back Stephanie Brown, I was upset because they were bringing back Barbara Gordon.
Bring back Yvonne Craig, so since they didn't have Yvonne Craig, and I don't care.
Wow.
Well, that's my favorite Batgirl.
It's not Alicia Silverstone?
Oh, boo. Where's the boo sound effect, boo?
Let's see, DC, Green Lantern Corps number 20 came out, but I heard this takes place after the end of the first Lantern story because Green Lantern number 20 was supposed to come out this week, but they pushed it back, I heard.
Lame. Yep.
So this is out of order now, so I'm not going to read it.
I skimmed it.
This is out of order. You're in a hole. DC Comics is out of order.
Catwoman and Justice League of America 3. Justice League of America shows the team throwing Catwoman into Arkham Asylum, and then at the end of the book, she escapes. And Catwoman, which actually came out like last week or the week before, is the story of her locked in Arkham Asylum.
Right.
So if it came out first, so if you're reading Catwoman, you're like, well, why the hell is she in Arkham Asylum? This makes no sense. You had to wait until Justice League came out this week, and it told you the story because they you know, messed up the whole release schedule of those.
See, that shouldn't even happen. That should be something.
It's been happening since before we were reading comics, though. So,
yeah, but it should be simple to put stuff out in order. The end. I heard Catwoman is pretty good.
I guess part of the problem is you've got one book that's running late. Do you want to have two books that run late? In order, you know, it's like Justice League is going to be a little late. So do you delay Catwoman? You have two late books, or do you let Catwoman hit its regular schedule and just make the one book late? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's I like, guess. Yeah, that makes sense. Can't have everything, push everything back.
Yeah, the less books you have coming out late, the better.
And the less set of fans that you piss off, the better.
That's right.
Yeah, because you don't want the Catwoman fans getting mad and saying, well, why can't we have our book just because that other book hasn't come out yet?
Yeah, it's just like with the Uncanny Avengers, which came out this week. Once they got rid of Jonathan Cassidy, it's like it's coming out every week now. It seems like it's like we got make up for the time.
Shots fired.
Let's see. So yeah, I enjoyed Justice League of America number 3. I just thought the banter between the characters was funny in this.
Also, I like the backup story too with Martian Manhunter and Catwoman when they do the mind meld thing and you get that background in the Martian Manhunter character. I thought it made him a little more interesting where it shows him hunting and he, you know, like devours the soul of the animal and the animal becomes a part of him, you know, kind of gives it this kind of creepy, you know, hunters always try to respect the animals, supposedly, you know, and if you watch movies like Red Dawn, it's like you got to drink the blood of your first kill, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, here, you know, Martian Manhunter as an alien is actually absorbing the thoughts and memories and feelings of the animal that he's killing, and that kind of gives it, like, him a different kind of creepy feeling. Because if he's killing somebody, if he gets into a fight, is he going to, like, suck out the person's soul and eat their soul as he kills them? You know, it's like, who is this guy? And I thought that was cool.
Okay.
Gave a lot more background on Martian Manhunter than they've had in the whole New 52 so far.
Actually, I haven't read it yet, so... Because once I saw it was a backup, I was like, okay, I'll just hold off on this and read some other books, and I'll go back and read the backup this weekend. So it's still...
I'm sure you do, because it was interesting.
It's still saved on the iPad, so I haven't swiped it away yet. Let's see. Did anyone read Green Lantern 4? Before I skip that.
What book was that?
The Green Lantern 4.
That's the one we were supposed to skip over, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Skimmed it. It was okay.
Did it make sense? Could you tell it took place after the end of...
Oh, yeah, definitely, because it says epilogue on the page. So I was just like, well, what happens at 20? So, you know, I just skimmed it just for the sake of skimming it.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll wait till Green Lantern number 20 comes out, which is supposed to be what... Isn't it supposed to be like 60-something pages, I think?
Is that why it's late? Because
there's like 5 artists credited on it, I heard. Like anyone who's worked on Geoff Johns Green Lantern is supposed to be working on this issue.
So it's going to be like that Detective Comics 19 where it's going to be $7.99, $8.99 for the combo pack.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Let's see. So we're done with
Stay DC. Losing DC.
Oh, yeah. You said someone here said they read
Deathstroke and Suicide Squad.
How was Suicide Squad?
Because Suicide Squad was interesting. You know, there's a lot of there's a big spotlight on Amanda Waller in this, and it's a lot of like black ops, wet works type attitude and writing going on. They featured the Unknown Soldier in this, which is kind of cool. Harley Quinn is on this rendition of the team, this version of the team, and there's a decent amount of character work going on in here.
I actually have Deathstroke and Suicide Squad. I just haven't read either one of them yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna spoil too much for you, Doug. Just you know, there's some decent character work going on in Suicide Squad, and in terms of Deathstroke, it seems like they're revisiting a lot of the old Deathstroke's history and just rewriting it. You know, like literally, they're not doing anything really new with it. They're just redoing it to a certain extent. You know, like modernizing it. It's, you know, like it's. I've probably said this before. You know, like I go back on Titans all the way to the beginning. You know, like to Wolfman and Perez, like when they started it. So, you know, all this Deathstroke stuff is real familiar to me. At least the early stuff with like the Ravager and Rose. You know, like his children, yeah. And Jericho, and you know, to a certain extent, they're kind of almost returning things to where they were. Pre-New 52, you know, they're like kind of, you know, skimming through a lot of the highlights of the Wilson family from like 1983 until now and jamming it into like the first, you know, 20 issues with this.
It just saddens me that Deathstroke is, you know, over. It's, you know, canceled. It's done because it started out, I thought, very strong. Then they gave it to Rob Liefeld. It went right down the toilet, and everybody stopped buying it. And then as soon as they fired him and kicked him off the book, it was back to being good again.
Is this the last issue?
I believe this is the last issue. Either this is the last one, or it's...
They announced that this stuff was being canceled like 6 months. Feels like it was 6 months ago when they announced Team 7 and Deathstroke and Ravagers were being canceled. And it's like, are they canceled yet?
Right.
Well, and that's the other thing is Team 7 is another book that I didn't really care about when it came out, but they've tied it into Deathstroke, and they've done a really good job of bringing the books together and making the story interesting. And it's like there are finally some books in the DC universe that I really care about now, and they're the books that are getting canned. And I don't know if maybe it's because they knew they were ending, that they were like, well, let's just do a whole bunch of crazy stuff now that we, you know, we don't have to worry about it. And maybe that's, you know, part of the deal. But, I mean, I'm really, you know, bummed out that this is the end of Deathstroke because except for that chunk with Rob Liefeld, it's been great.
Well, Doug, that kind of explains why they kind of, you know, like I was saying, they kind of redid, you know, 30 years of history in, you know, and like, and kind of squeezed it all in and kind of reset it so that, yeah, all the same people are sort of still dead. You know what I mean? You know, it's just a different way. They got there a different way.
Yeah. Well, and it does feel like iVampire was the same way, where iVampire was a great series, but they kind of were leading up to this big fight at the end. And then suddenly it's just like, okay, it's over, you know, because the series was over. And they they were going to do like six more issues of this arc, and they had to wrap it up in two, you know? So it's just, it didn't work in iVampire, but I think in Deathstroke and Team 7, it just made them a whole lot more interesting.
Right.
Maybe if iVampire hadn't spent 18 issues doing whatever their little, the Rot World story?
No, that wasn't iVampire. Oh, that was Animal Man and Swamp Thing.
Forget what I said.
In terms of these two books, I'm actually interested in reading the next issue of Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Did you read the final of Team 7?
No, I did not. I might have to backtrack and take a look at that.
Yeah, that's another one I've got a copy of waiting for me. I just haven't gotten to yet.
All right.
I tried, I think, issues 1... And somehow I missed issue 2, 1, and 3 of Team 7. And I was excited about it first because I like all the, you know,
Wildstorm characters.
Yeah, the Wildstorm characters. So I was excited about that. But then I was just like, it didn't hold my interest.
And I never really cared about the Wildstorm characters.
Yeah, no one cares about the Wildstorm characters, I've learned.
I mean, I've read the Wildstorm characters for a while. Like, I remember getting, like, to the, you know, the first Team 7 books and Death Blow and, you know, all that stuff and how they were trying to kind of universe build back then. And, you know, it just, you know, you got to understand, you know, like back then I was just like, no, I'm not spending money on this. That's the bottom line.
I mean, since they did the new 52 Wildstorm books, they've all sucked pretty much. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they just can't get the characters right or... You know, like I couldn't connect with Grifter. I couldn't connect with Voodoo. I just couldn't. I mean, I just don't think the books, they got the right creators on the book, and you definitely sure as hell don't get Rob Liefeld to do them.
Right. I just think there's a glut of characters. I mean, you know, that's like a whole universe unto itself, and to just integrate them into the DC universe just like that, you got to expect that a lot of them are just going to fall by the wayside, you know? You know, like the Charlton characters, not all of them were successfully integrated into DC.
Are you talking about like Blue Beetle and Captain Atom?
Exactly. Not all of them were integrated well. You know, it's going to be only a select few that make it.
Yeah, they should have at least rolled a couple out. Maybe not, because I guess they could have rolled more, but maybe do like just start with maybe two of the characters or two books focused on Watchmen people.
Sure.
And go from there.
Yeah, maybe a little bit at a time, but they're only able to come up with 52 new titles because of these Wildstorm characters, you know, contributing to the title count.
Yeah, it seems Marvel's doing it the right way where they're bringing in like new universe and other characters, but DC has always had a problem with integrating characters in their stories.
It's just got to happen slowly. It's got to happen, you know, over time. This big launch like this, I think was overwhelming. I don't think people could dedicate enough money, you know, to all these books, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is for someone like me, I didn't follow Wildstorm a whole bunch. Certain characters like Majestic I always liked, but most of the people I didn't really care about. And when they say, hey, we're making a Grifter book, I don't really know anything about Grifter. I don't really care. If Grifter was revealed in like Justice League International and made an appearance in Deathstroke and made an appearance in Hawkman, then maybe eventually I'll be familiar enough with the character. They say, hey, we're doing a Grifter series. I might read it. But to simply, you know, jump the gun and say, hey, it's a Grifter series, I don't care.
Yep. I'd agree with that.
Yep. Like I said, you got to do it slowly, you know. I don't think the market could really bear that many titles all at once.
I wonder if it's really just the Jim Lee problem. You know, Jim Lee is one of the top three guys at DC, and he was just like, oh, I have all these characters. Let's do something with them. And they were like, sure, why not? But maybe the, you know, characters weren't just strong enough, and Jim Lee pushed too hard to, you know, give them their own books.
Got to have 52 books.
That's why they don't have money for a booth at C2E2 now.
See. Let's jump to Marvel, because I don't see anything from Image that, unless someone wants to talk about Walking Dead.
Didn't read it.
I've never even seen the TV show.
Me either. I boycott it. Even though I did watch some of the first season. And
just watch it. Don't boycott it.
I don't care about zombies, so that answers that.
Zombies and magic. Tim is not down with.
There you go. Or vampires. I do read Morbius.
I read Walking Dead. I thought it was decent. You know, the problem with Kirkman is that he definitely writes for the trades. So you get these kind of bookend issues where it's like at the beginning something exciting happens, then there's a bunch of fallout, a bunch of reaction, it starts to build up to something else, and then that's the end of the trade. So when you're reading the issues, it's like something cool happens, and then you get like five or six issues of people talking about what happened, and then how they feel about what happened. And then now we're getting ready for the next thing, and now we're building up for the next thing. And then the big next thing happens, and you're excited. But there's always these, you know, kind of compression and expansion problems that it runs into where you get three or four issues, five issues in a row where you're just like, oh, come on, let's do something, you know?
Black and Nerdy says, the new 52 felt like bad Image books, and Gen 13 characters like Grunge were given crappy re-imaging.
No pun intended.
Yeah. I hated the new Ripclaw, by the way.
Who's that?
Ripclaw? Oh, you mean through the Free Cyberforce?
No, not Ripclaw. I'm sorry, Warblade. My bladed...
What book is he in?
Some 90s name going on here.
He was in Superboy.
He was in Superboy?
Oh my goodness.
Was he in this Superboy?
Yeah, this week's Superboy? Superboy 20?
No. He was in Superboy back in the first year when they did the crossover with the Teen Titans.
Oh, okay.
part of that culling, which was terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. When they introduced the Ravagers, I didn't read it. I just know what happened.
Beyond me. All right.
Back to Black and Nerdy reminded me of some news I forgot to mention earlier. Basically, Joe Quesada did an Angela redesign. I'm sure no one cares.
Yeah, I tweeted that out.
At least on this panel.
We'll see what happens with Angela later.
Angela.
I just wanted to at least mention it because I actually did have it in my notes and I forgot to.
Yeah, I even tweeted it today and, you know, I forgot about it.
I retweeted it.
Yeah, thanks. I saw that, but, you know.
They sent me the press release and I trashed it. I didn't even post it on the website. I was like, who cares? Nobody cares. Hey, guess what? This is what her costume looks like. Hey, guess what? There's too much booby and, you know, not enough outfit.
There's never too much. Anyway.
It's stupid. Who cares?
The breaking news.
Be a Guardian of the Galaxy. She needs all that fancy armor like they have on now instead of the cool outfits from the Abnett and Landon era. But anyway, right. I won't complain too much about that.
Is this redesign approved by the Mary Sue?
I doubt it.
Variant Dash says the Walking Dead show is booty. Don't believe the hype.
Booty.
Wow.
And he would know because he has to hype these shows.
Wow. It's never going to win what the hell is it? The TV? Yeah, the Emmy Award. It's never going to win an Emmy Award for best drama. But
I thought it wins a bunch of awards for some reason.
No, that's not
it's Emmy. Twitter that's awards. Not,
yeah. Anyway, enough Walking Dead on the show.
Boobs.
Black and Nerdy for Profit. Which Profit number something came out. Profit number 35 came out. I'm going to guess no one here has read it.
What book?
I know that Prophet is different from the original series. Like, it kept the numbering from the original series, but it's a completely different character and storyline. But beyond that, I couldn't tell you a thing about it.
Wasn't Prophet a Rob Liefeld character?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. I remember that name from the 90s.
It's been reimagined.
He had the big purple outfit on, and he had the classic Rob Liefeld Shatterstar headgear.
Shatterstar.
I hope I got that right.
Yeah, Shatterstar.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I think this new series is about an actual prophet. Like, I think he's supposed to be some sort of religious leader. So that's why it's the name. But
oh, you mean it makes sense now?
I guess.
That's funny.
Well, Rob Liefeld has nothing to do with it, so it can't make less
sense. It's got to make more sense than that.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's see. So, yeah, now okay, we did at least talk profit.
There you go.
There's your profit.
I'm going to jump to... in Marvel, I'm going to jump to... Let's see. Anyone read Alpha Big Time?
He's just annoying.
The character is annoying. I thought they were trying to rehabilitate him now.
It's not working.
I liked Alpha when he was first in Amazing Spider-Man. I cannot stand this miniseries. I read the first two and I was like, I'm done. I have no desire to read the rest of this.
I can't stand the art.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Art is crap. Art's booty.
The art's not that bad. It's just, you know, the story is just not enough to
use.
It's not that bad.
It is that bad.
Let's see. Let's jump to...
Thor's been making a lot of appearances in other people's comics lately, though.
Who? Well, it's leading up to the movie.
The Mighty Who Thor, is? Yeah. Thor.
Oh. Okay, yeah, we could jump to Thor, God of Thunder number 8. One of my books of the week, if I had to pick one. This series is awesome. It seems like Jason Aaron's having more fun writing this than Wolverine and the X-Men, or maybe I'm just enjoying it more than Wolverine and the X-Men because we have
aren't a lot better.
We have all three Thors meeting each other and the humor from that and Thor and his grandchildren and the great art by Esad Ribic. Highly recommend this book.
It's good stuff.
Yes. Jump back to Avengers 11, which was
You didn't like it?
It was cool.
I liked it.
I mean,
you could definitely tell. You could definitely tell that Deodato was getting some Bruce Lee reference material there for Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like clicking through. You know, like flipping through the pages. I was just like, wow, that's like off a movie still or something.
Yeah.
I didn't like stuff with Black Widow.
It's either inspired by Bruce Lee or Fei Long.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Fei Long is inspired by Bruce Lee, so I just went with Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Or Bruce Lee Roy.
Oh, where is it?
But yeah, I didn't like stuff with Black Widow and how she was trying to... How she was grossing everyone out.
Well, she wasn't grossing everyone out. She's just like, yo, we got to take care of business. And, you know, none of these people are, you know, like, super. I mean, the closest thing to a super spy here is, I guess, Spider-Woman, you know, ex-agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? She's the only, you know, Black Widow's the only black ops person there. So, you know, she's used to wet work. She's going to pull some nails out to get some information, you know?
Right.
I could deal with that. You know, it was a good way to kind of show the difference between the characters. You know, it's kind of weird, a weird grouping to send on a Black Ops mission, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. But it was just issue to me.
It was kind of a change of pace because, you know, the Avengers are like this global team and you're thinking of all these powerhouses. So this is kind of showing the street level of the Avengers. So, you know, for that, I enjoyed it.
No, I liked it. I liked the fact that they gave some spotlight to some of the I hate to call them second tier, but like, you know, like the non, you know, strike force members of the Avengers, you know?
Yeah. That's what I kinda like about this book is it's like an Avengers variety book. I mean, you do have some of the same, you know, core characters in a lot of issues. You know, you're gonna see Cap and Iron Man, but you know, each issue kind of features different members of the team on different missions. This is like quintessential, this is what the Avengers are book.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, Avengers Variety Hour.
I gotcha.
Yeah, without the musical numbers.
Yeah, they saved those for Hawkeye.
Black and Nerdy says, Angela looks like she stole Emma Frost Phoenix 5 costume. Prophet has been retooled into a space Conan, the Barbarian, and he's Conan in space with a bunch of Prophet clones.
Okay.
Let's see, next on the list, Avengers Arena number 9. So far, my other pick of the week, along with Thor, even though people hate this book for how their favorite characters are being handled, I'm still finding it a fun read. Is it Sam? No, Dennis Hopeless, who's writing this book. I think he's doing a good job keeping it, you know, keeping you on your toes as Dirt gives the two thumbs down.
Now, Dirt, is it the fact, is it the, you know, the destruction of a lot of these characters that you've loved for so many years, or you just don't like the book?
Is there a difference?
Oh.
Oh.
It could be both.
I mean, like, it could be a quality thing, but...
Maybe the choice to kill off perfectly good characters that were totally worth exploring more stories with is a key to being a bad book.
Hmm. Now, what if we do get some sort of a, what do you call it, you know, some sort of reveal that these characters are not dead and there's some kind of, like, VR thing happening where, you know, they've just been eliminated from the game, but they're all, like, hooked up to some machine.
That's just stupid.
I'm about to say, now it seems like a cop-out at this point.
Yeah,
even,
right?
Even though I guessed that was my guess from the beginning, now it just seemed like a cop-out.
It's like the movie April Fool's Day.
Yeah. It's what they did with Lost.
Gotcha.
The reverse of that.
I was saying, on Lost, they were all actually dead.
Yeah.
And next up, we have... What else came out? Anyone read Avengers Spider-Man?
Yep,
I did. Yes. That was actually an interesting read.
How was it?
Go ahead, Clark. That's great.
Yeah.
I liked it. This is one of my picks of the week.
Yeah. And they, the villain this time is Chameleon, right?
Yep. Master of Disguise. Although, you know, with Avenging Spider-Man, it's supposed to be a team-up book, you know, but now that Doc Ock is Spidey, a lot of his team-ups are kind of seem to be skewing towards, you know, villains in his rogues gallery, or in Spidey's rogues gallery, you know, so, some of Doc Ock's former friends. So a lot of this is just about Doc Ock, or Doc Spidey, or whatever you want to call him, trying to break out the Chameleon from the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier where he's being held prisoner.
And, right, except there's some old Russian handlers of his, of the Chameleon, who are looking to wipe, you know, to knock off a Chameleon, you know, because he's, you know, because he's in custody. They're afraid he's going to squeal, he's going to be a rat, a snitch.
Yeah. So, yeah, part of the problem I had with the book was just that, you know, like you say, it's supposed to be the team-up book, and they had the Secret Avengers there. They had Hawkeye, they had Black Widow, they have Coulson, they have Samuel L. Jackson. They even make the joke about it.
Yes, that was a good joke.
And it's like, those guys, what did they really do in the book except stand there to take some zingers and then kind of disappear and fade to the background when all the fighting starts happening? I mean, did they really serve any real purpose other than the opening to put Spider-Man on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay, just make sure I didn't miss something.
Deadpool number 9. Anyone get to read? I've dropped this book.
I didn't get a chance to read it.
I didn't get a chance to look at this one either.
Okay.
So nobody's Fearless, reading Deadpool.
I read Fearless Defenders number 4. Series is like it's finally going to get interesting as far as bringing in more of these S.H.I.E.L.D. maidens. Misty Knight at the end looks like she's on a recruitment drive. So we, hopefully next issue is a bunch of guest stars.
Yeah. To me, what's taking them so long? You know, I feel like they should have done this in like the third, you know, like this issue, you know, to get to a fourth issue, you know, where there's a big, you know, there's a big battle or whatever.
Yeah, that's doing the slow build.
Yeah, I guess.
It looks like they at least like the first couple of issues, they introduced a new person each issue, and then I guess last issue there was no new female added to the group.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
Let's see. Black and Nerdy says Avengers Arena is great, and he made it interesting. And also to add to that, it's Marvel. Death is meaningless. Some writer will bring them back.
Yeah,
that's true.
I kind of like this Queen Hippolyta that they've got running around. She's kind of a Wonder Woman knockoff.
That's probably why I don't like her. I like how they write her, like, you know, she's thrash like Thor.
Yeah.
I like in the Thor book, too. Young Thor.
Yeah.
It's a classic in Agent 70 said they read that Iron Man 258.2.
Right. Yeah, I read 258.2 and I had to backtrack and get 258.1. It's interesting to see these kind of lost in, you know, like, well, what's the best way to put it? Like the 0.1, you know, issues where, you know, they're like fill-in, Untold Tales, that's what it is.
Yeah. You know,
they're like Untold Tales.
DC, right before they did the New 52, they did a series they call Retroactive. Mm-hmm. And they did Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Justice League, and they did, you know, like different time periods of the characters. So you got your 70s, your 80s, your 90s versions of the characters. And it's like Marvel is using these point ones and now point two to kind of do the same thing where they're going back, they're getting the original creators that are available and kind of revisiting the characters in that time period.
Sure.
So it's interesting. I want to read these, but I'm not really sure kind of why.
Well, I'm kind of glad that, you know, that it's you know, short-lived. You know, like I read I remember loving Untold Tales of Spider-Man when Busiek and Pat Olaf were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that they're doing this in kind of short spurts and, you know, not really putting out too many of these 0.1 or 0.2 type issues in between. You know, it was good though. Like I was, you know, in pre-show, I was talking about how I loved seeing Bob Layton's inks, you know, on the art, you know, kind of, you know, I'm reliving my childhood seeing Iron Man look so shiny. You know, like, you know, just based on the inking style, based on like the spotting the blacks and the lighting from the inkers, you know, not even, you know, like nowadays the computer coloring does so much of that, but you know, the way he was inking Iron Man just made it look so shiny without even the colors popping, you know, or the computer coloring making it so.
Yeah, that's definitely a mid-90s like art style book, you know. I kind of liked it. It was a great throwback.
Okay, yeah, I'm skipping it. That's my plan because I didn't know what it was and it was confusing me. So I said, I'm ignoring this.
There's magic in, you're going to treat it like there's magic and zombies in it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All right. What's left? Uncanny Avengers? Did we do that?
Yeah, Uncanny Avengers. I'm enjoying this book now. It's business, as Jim Ross says, business is picking up. More stuff with the Apocalypse Twins and Thor secrets and Wolverine secrets. More stuff trying to come to light.
Is there a Pier 6 brawl in this one?
No.
It's a slobber knocker.
There was some... I guess a Pier 6 brawl up in the sky.
Yeah.
Shrapnel.
Fist and sunfire.
I gave up on this series. This is another one of those that just it annoyed me, and I stopped reading it. But did they ever wrap up the whole Red Skull and the brain of Professor X thing?
No, that'll come back around. And there's a bunch of references to Red Skull in this by the Apocalypse Twins because they're, you know, from the future. They came from the future back to the past. And I guess – and they even mentioned Ahab, who I guess is going to – I think it's supposed to make an appearance in this book too sometime. So Rick Remender's – Rick Remender went digging into the X-Men's back history vault to find
out. Yeah, this is definitely early 90s stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know Dirt is anti-X-Men, so –
You're a mutant hater.
Yeah,
I'm a mutist.
Do you call him G joking? Filthy, stinking mutant.
Imperfect humans.
Get your filthy hands off me, Gene joke.
Gene joke. I like that.
Got a little Claremont. Yeah, that's a Claremont line.
The Uncanny X-Force number 4. Still enjoying this, especially for Ron Garney's art. Nothing really. I guess stuff happens in it, but it's more stuff with the Bishop and the new Guinea, the new mutant that he's chasing after. There's kind of a resolution, and it looks like things will transition to whatever the next part of the story is supposed to be.
But, yeah, it seemed like an empty ending, you know. I was kind of left, you know, with the, you know, what now, you know?
What Marvel now?
Marvel now. That's how you guys say it. Let's see. There's something I skipped. Secret Avengers number 4. I haven't read it yet, and I'm actually even thinking about just dropping the book.
Secret Avengers 4. I skimmed it. Trying to see if there's anything of note that happens in this.
You know, it's one of these that's in my pile to read that I want to get to at some point. But I have to say, generally speaking, I'm a little more interested in this than Uncanny. Obviously, Uncanny Avengers. But, like, even New Avengers, I don't even really, like, whatever. But I'm a little more interested, I guess, in kind of the Black Ops assassination, kind of Bourne Identity stuff that they're kind of thrown in with this.
Yeah. I kind of like that spy stuff myself.
Yeah, now I'm the total opposite of you. Like, I read this clan, you know, Black Ops team, and I'm just like, nothing's going on in this. Nothing's happening.
Well, what makes it so good is there's no mutants.
Yeah. That,
yeah, no gene jokes.
I need mutants in my book.
Get your filthy hands off me, gene joke.
Wolverine number
3. It was interesting. That's about it.
Speaking of mutants, Wolverine number 3, a book I gave up on after one issue.
This was a good good issue, in my opinion. I like this one. And I didn't want to give this book a chance because I'm not, like, the world's biggest Wolverine fan. I like this one a lot more than I do Savage Wolverine or what was the other one? Wolverine and the X-Men.
Really?
Yeah. I think the story and the writing is pretty, you know, it's pretty solid in this.
I think this issue made up for last issue. I had a good time reading this issue. There's a lot of cool characters that pop up, and there's a great line in here about you found another team, some loner you are, you know.
Yeah.
That was a great line.
Wolverine's overexposure. We actually see another character exposed, you know, kind of brought into this one again too. Black Nick Fury is back, and he seems to be popping up in a lot of books. The exchange, you know, the dynamic between him and Wolverine, who's, you know, his kind of his father's
contemporary.
Yeah. So he just calls him kid and all that stuff, you know.
Sure. Yeah, but in terms of the Wolverine, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I read the first two issues and it was totally underwhelmed, so I didn't even bother to read three. Is it worth reading three because the first two were so awful? Should I give it another chance?
I feel like this is like the Iron Man trilogy. Wolverine 1 was okay, you know, Wolverine 2 was, and Wolverine 3 is kind of brought me back in. So you should read it.
Okay.
Yeah, give it a shot, you know.
Y'all let me know how it is.
All right, no problem.
Make my Wolverine Savage.
Wow. I like Savage Wolverine.
Savage is fun. And I'll even enjoy it once Zeb Wells and Joe Madureira, however you say his name, join the cast or join the creative team.
You got it. All right, let's see if there's anything else.
I didn't get a chance to read any of the Valiant stuff yet. Archer.
Well, wait.
I haven't.
Before you move on,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that I really enjoyed the latest issue of Ultimates. I wasn't into the Ultimate Universe at all until maybe the last year or so, and I've really enjoyed what they've done. And this particular issue of the Ultimates took the stories, basically everything I've been reading for the last 2 years have kind of built up and wrapped up and kind of finished off a whole bunch of stuff in this issue. It was a good, you know, kind of finale to a lot of the stuff they've been doing. And one of the big things about the Ultimate Universe is that they actually elected Captain America to be president of the United States, and he gives it up. He walks away, and he says, "I can't do this. Like, I'm a soldier. I can't be a politician." They've really done a whole lot. You know, I like a lot of the political intrigue. California was trying to break off of the Union, and they had, backroom Washington, D.C. deals going on and all of that kind of stuff. And I just kind of really enjoyed Captain America in this, just kind of being like, you know, I can't resolve this stuff with diplomacy. I just got to punch people in the face. That's what I do. And I enjoyed that part of the story.
Okay.
All right.
I know, and then they're doing the creative change on 25. I remember reading. Are you going to stick with it after that?
I'm at least going to give it, you know, two issues, I guess. You know, see how the changes go and if it still holds on to me or not.
Cool.
Okay.
One of us needs to read it. I've heard good stuff about the Ultimate Universe. The only thing I read is Ultimate Spider-Man.
I think that's another reason why I like it, because there's only three books and you can read that entire universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one perk.
Yeah, they don't do Fantastic Four anymore, do they?
Nah.
Did they get killed in that Ultimate
two books?
Nah, yeah, they didn't do Iron Man either, right?
Nah, he's just
going with the Iron Man. They did a miniseries.
Yeah, he's part of the Ultimates team.
Right.
So he's part of that book. And actually, I love Tony Stark because he's got a brain tumor. And his brain tumor manifests itself as the young version of him that only he can see and hear. But the brain tumor of Tony Stark is much smarter than the actual Tony Stark. So a lot of times he has to turn to his brain tumor in order to figure out how to solve a problem.
Interesting.
Wow.
That is kind of... I probably still won't read it, but...
Tim is so honest.
Hey, it's my brother.
I bring the honesty to the show. Ultimate Spider-Man, though. Sticking with that. And I was just going to wrap up. I haven't had a chance to read the Valiant stuff yet. Archer and Armstrong, Zero. And Harbinger, number 12. Hopefully I can get to check those out this weekend. Anything else you guys want to mention that I didn't bring up tonight?
If you can get a chance, check out Free Comic Book Day's versions of Mega Man and Sonic the Hedgehog.
And SpongeBob, as Dirt is displaying on his screen.
Yeah. He's showing off his SpongeBob.
Actually, one of the neat things about SpongeBob is this is my daughter's probably second favorite comic after My Little Pony. But if you look through the book and look at the credits, there are a lot of like old like kitchen sink and slave labor guys who are doing stories and artwork for this. Because I guess just the idea of how oddball and crazy it is just kind of appeals to a lot of those underground guys. And so it's amazing that I can like kind of flip through it and recognize a guy from Kitchen Sink Comics, and he's doing SpongeBob now. And, you know, my daughter's reading it and loving it. And it's like really bad puns and, you know, all of underwear jokes and stuff like that. But
it's busy, you know, being subversive, Doug.
It's Captain Underpants with SpongeBob.
Oh, man. My Captain Underpants.
Nice. Okay. I had about wraps up tonight's episode of Comic Book Chronicles. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight and supporting us. Had a lot of viewers. Shout outs to everyone that watched live tonight. And if you're watching on tape delay, whenever you happen to pull it up on the YouTube channel or on theclicknation.com, many thanks. We'll be back next week. If everything goes according to plan, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday night, as we see Kick-Ass or Hit Girl displayed right there. So you're for welcome. Adam Black and Classic Material, Agent 70 and PCN Dirt, I am Tim D-O-double-G, and thank you again for watching the Comic Book Chronicles. We are signing off.
Peace. Valiant, Dark One. What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic show. I'm steady tripping over them pages, some dog and Adam Black. No, yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee. Don't give a, as long as them pages are hot, and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.